Samaritan woman, and she didn't know. She says, you know, the Jews say we're supposed to worship at the temple, and my people say we're to worship on this mountain. And the Lord says, well, the day's coming, and now it is, when you'll worship in spirit and in truth. For that's what the Father is really seeking after. And it was a while before I understood what Jesus meant by that. But from the fall of Adam until the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, for 4,000 years, the Father did not have a family born of His Spirit on the earth. No one could worship Him out of that new nature because nobody had it until Jesus came. But He says, I'm going to be like the seed, and I'm going to fall into the ground and die. But like a seed, I'm going to regenerate, and I'm going to be multiplied. And now He's multiplied that new nature in you. And the Father longed for worship from His own children, out of a spirit born of His own spirit for 4,000 years. And now it's been 6. How about we please the Father for a moment?
Amen.
Just out of your own inner sanctuary, that new nature, you are a child of the Most High God. Just turn your palms about kind of up like this and just tell Him, I love you, Father. I love you, Lord. I thank you. I praise you, Lord. I worship you. Oh, Father, thank you 1,000,000 times for giving me a new spirit, for giving me life. I love you, Father. You are my Father. Oh, I love you, Lord. Jesus, my life belongs to you. Do with me as you will, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship you and I praise you, Spirit and in truth. Oh, I love you, Father. I praise you with all of my heart. I love you with all of my heart, all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. I love you, Father. I love you, Father. I worship you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I glorify your holy name. I love you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I worship you, Father, my Father. Oh, I love you, Lord. I praise you. I thank you for your loving kindness towards me, that you would bring me into your family, call me your son. I love you, Lord. I worship you. I love you, Father. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I praise you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
I worship you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Bless you, Father.
Glory to God.
Bless you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now you just did the best thing that you're going to do all day. And you just pleased the Father right then, more than anything else you're going to do all day. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. He waited a long time.
Yes, He did.
Let's don't make Him wait. Every day, every day. Give Him that worship. That's what it's all about. Now, Abraham, his complaint was, Father, Jehovah, I don't have a son. And this servant that was born in my house is going to wind up being my heir. And God didn't say it this way, but one reason that the father could relate to that, see, Abraham, he didn't have a son. Not on, you know, and really at that moment on the earth, neither did the father. He didn't either. He understood where Abraham was coming from. On the earth, he didn't have any sons. He originally did with Adam. You just read the Beatitudes in Luke. It plainly says, gets to Adam. Adam, the son of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
But he fell, and he didn't have that nature. Different nature, sin nature come into him. But God could sure relate with Abraham. He says, I tell you what, you want a son? You'd like to have a family, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh? So would I. Let's make a covenant. The end result of this covenant will not only produce sons for you, it's going to produce sons for me. Y'all are it. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. No wonder God related with Abraham. He wanted sons and daughters in the earth too. Hallelujah. That part was free. Well, it's all free. Hallelujah. Be opening your Bibles to Luke 6. Now, in my mind, this is, for benefit of the tape, this is the core group. Marvin, what is the name of your fellowship here?
House of Praise.
House of Praise. This is the core group of the House of Praise. I'm talking to the leaders. And I know many of you, if not all of you, are already actively involved in ministry. And if you're not already involved, you're aspiring towards that. And whatever level of ministry you're in, you're aspiring to more. Isn't that right? Amen. So in my mind, although all the meetings are going to be, if the Lord gets past Gary and he gets to show up, they're all bless you. But in my view, this is probably the most important meeting of the week. Because once this is over and Sue and I go back to Tulsa, what the Lord has to bring revival to this city is you. Now, if that doesn't scare you. And I'm going to, the reason I have you turn to Luke first, I'm going to read you, we're going to read a little passage that to me is one of the most scariest passages in all the New Testament. Because since you're in a place of leadership, the responsibility, the accountability is high.
Yes.
I mean, we're not going to go there, but James says, not many of you should be masters. You got to be careful what you teach. With your tongue, you're able to bridle the whole body. And if you don't spend time with the real teacher, the Holy Spirit, you're fallible. You'll wind up starting a church in a desert called Salt Lake, preaching a doctrine that'll take millions to hell. The accountability's high. Now, Luke 6, starting in verse 39. And this is for the leaders, the core. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. I'll just stop right there for a minute. In plain, a little more plain modern day English, the people that you minister to, they're not going to go past you. They're not going to rise above you. You see what Jesus said? If they're perfect, if they do everything right, they listen, they take notes, they do what you say, whatever you teach them as a leader in this church or wherever the Lord takes you, they're going to become like you. Now, I don't want to scare you. My prayer all the time is, God forbid that I make disciples unto myself or like unto myself. But the plain truth is, I am. People that listen to me are going to become more like me. Now, where does that leave when you get to thinking about that? Because, see, I know me. And I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be like Jesus. So if I'm going to be a teacher in the body of Christ, then what I have to do is I have to keep becoming myself more like Jesus, so that those that follow me become more like Jesus. Let's say it a different way. If I come back in a year, God forbid, I'm at the same place that I am right now. I've got to do something to keep growing, to keep becoming more conformed and changed into that image. I don't want people, I mean, as it is right now, okay, people that would listen to the teachings and listen to the things that the Lord has me teach, well, they're going to be better off than where they are. I'll be honest with you. The Lord's going to get them free of a lot of things. He's made me free of a lot of things. You can be walking in more peace. You can be walking in more financial freedom. You can be walking in more power, more anointing than you are right now, most of you. Okay? But if you're a perfect student, you get every tape I have. You listen to them. You get them on the inside of you where you can teach them just like I teach them. But not only that, you're doing them. See, that's where it is. It's not the truth you know that sets you free. It's the truth you do that sets you free. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
But the day will come, if I don't quit growing, I mean, if I don't grow anymore, and you're a perfect student, just like Jesus says here, the best you can hope for, listening to me or listening to Marvin or Dave or whoever, is to become like your teacher. Isn't that right? Well, that puts a responsibility squarely. If you're in a place of leadership, you're going to have to keep growing. And you're going to have the diligence to do whatever it takes to keep growing. This doesn't happen by accident. How do you know that? Well, do y'all know any people that's been Christians for 50 years that act like a baby with a thumb in their mouth all the time? Get offended over every little thing? And, you know, any little news article, all of a sudden, God's not alive and Y2K is going to take us all down, you know? Dear God, what would you do if we went to war? Crying out loud. You understand? Let's look at this again now. Can the blind lead the blind? Now, stop again. You say, well, I'm not blind, Brother Gary. Well, I know you're not. In a lot of ways, thank God your eyes are open to know Jesus as Lord.
Amen.
We have some light, don't we?
Amen.
See, and we can minister that to people. You can be born again. We know how to minister that. You can be baptized in the Holy Ghost, just like Tony said earlier today. You can be healed. We know that, don't we? See, we know a lot of things. We can help people walk in more peace. We can get them baptized in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, and worshiping Jesus, and there's a lot of things we can do. But let's go back and talk about last night. What if we bring the 10 children in here with multiple sclerosis? And we do everything we know to do. And we pray. And like that, I like the way Dave says it. You empty every cell, every fiber of your being. You draw faith from everything that's in you. Still, they don't walk. They don't walk out of here. We have to wheel them back out. What's the problem? We're blind. It's not a mystery to Jesus. It's not a mystery to the Holy Spirit, is it? We're blind in that area. All right. Where can we go in Guthrie? I know there's some good churches in Guthrie. I know they're doing good work. Where are you going to go in Guthrie? Where are you going to take those 10 kids? Where are they going to get out of those wheelchairs? There isn't any place, is there? All right, so you don't have a teacher locally where you can go and learn how to do this. Now, that's why as leaders, let me tell you right now, it's not that the Lord won't have you share what you know. He will. He will have you use whatever level of anointing you're walking in. But I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, your job is never to take the place of the Holy Ghost. Your job is to teach these people how to get in touch with the Holy Ghost for themselves. Because if you teach them how to get into that teacher, how to receive from Him, there are no limits. There are no limits to the Holy Spirit. And that means, number one, you yourself are going to have to develop a stronger relationship, and I mean one-on-one, with the Holy Ghost than what you have now. Well, how can you say that? The kids aren't getting out of the wheelchair. That's how I say that, just very practical. Okay? Now, with that thought in mind, I want you to go to, which one first, Lord? Go to John 7, John 16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No wonder it didn't look right. I was in Luke 16. I'm going to have to believe for a new Bible. Just all there is to it. I've meditated this one. I've meditated. Y'all want to see? You know, Dave sometimes says, I meditated on that passage till my meditator fell out on the floor. Well, I've meditated the book of James till James has fallen out in the floor here. So.
Amen.
You know.
Hallelujah, Gary.
Yes. Oh, no, don't send me Bibles, please. I have a specific Bible in mind, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. Yes. Yeah. And it'll come. Hallelujah. Thank you anyway. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Now, I got to clear up one thing. Oh, I know. I got to be real careful. That's one reason. One of the Lord's, one of His instructions to us is not to ever let a human being know of any need that we have. He says, I am your source. You know? And so we just tell Him and He just sends it. You know? Either the money or the thing. It doesn't matter. So, we are abundantly supplied. I'm the freest man I know when it comes to finances. I really am. But boy, I didn't used to be that way. And when I was in sales, I was good at it. And I'd get your money and you'd like it before I was done. I'd get your money and make you like it. Hallelujah. Now, Luke 16, I got to clear this up because I wasn't intending on doing this part. You notice I brought this ring binder up here. There's some things we're going to have to get clear, and I've never taught this before, although I've had it, probably had this note in my Bible for 3 or 4 years. But let's look at something Jesus said. He's talking about the Comforter that's going to come, the Spirit of Truth. We'll pick it up in John 16, verse. Let's start in verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, stop for a minute. The reason he said that, James, Peter, John, all the ones he's talking to, they're not born again yet. Remember what we said last night? Until you get that Spirit of Truth on the inside of you, you can't really understand the things of God. He said, there's a lot of things I'd like to tell you guys. I've told you a lot already, but really there's a lot I can't tell you because right now you couldn't handle it. Well, they weren't born again yet. But now notice, verse 13. See, after the regeneration, howbeit when He, the Spirit of Truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. And this is one of my favorite passages. We could just go on and on. But I want to clear up something, because there's a misconception in the body of Christ. And because there's a misconception of it, people miss out on a lot of conversations with the Holy Ghost, because they don't think it's God. Now let's look at this particular phrase. In verse 13, where he says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of Truth, has come, now this is the phrase, He will guide you into all truth. Here's the phrase, for He shall not speak of Himself. Got that? Now most people take that to mean that the Holy Spirit only, when He ever talks, He never says anything about Himself. He only talks about Jesus. That's the way most people I know, that's the way they understand that. Hold your place there. Back up just to John 12, verse 49. In fact, we'll start in verse 48 for context. This is Jesus talking about Himself now. John 12, verses 48 and 49. He that rejecteth Me and receiveth not My words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now notice, for I have not spoken of Myself, but the Father which sent Me, He gave a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Now notice the first part of verse 49. For I have not spoken of Myself. Flip back over to John 16:13. What did He say about the Holy Ghost? He shall not speak of Himself. Now wait a minute. That's all. That's word for word, isn't it? The same thing. So if you take that to mean that over here in John 16:13 that He's saying the Holy Ghost will never say anything about Himself. Well, now wait a minute. Go back over here again. What did Jesus say? I have not spoken of Myself. Well, no, Jesus spoke about Himself all the time. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except by Me. Do you understand what He's saying? He's saying, now I'm saying that because that's what the Father says. But I am talking about Me. You see that? It's the same wording when He says that about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you about Himself. And you can have communication with Him to learn how to flow with Him in the anointing. He is a living person. He is the third member of the Godhead. He has a mind. He has emotions. He has thoughts. He has plans for you. Now, in the same way that the second member of the Godhead, Jesus the Son, has voluntarily bowed the knee to the will of the Father, the Holy Spirit, although He's co-equal with the Father and with the Son, I mean, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. If we could visibly see the three manifestations in this room, they'd be eyeball to eyeball, chest to chest. They're equal, co-equal. But just as the Son has voluntarily bowed the knee to the will of the Father, the Holy Spirit has voluntarily bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come in the name of Jesus to co-labor with us on the earth that the will of the Father can be done. But now most people, when they start trying to really develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit starts talking with them, but because they've been taught religiously that verse to think that He never talks about Himself, They start rejecting it. Well, I can't be. The Holy Spirit only talks about Jesus. Well, now Jesus says, I don't speak of myself. But he spoke about himself all the time. All he really meant was, the things I say to you, I didn't originate. I'm speaking truth from the Father. But I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am, I am, I am. As all through there he talks about himself, doesn't he? Isn't that right? But he's not originating it. It's not coming from a motive of pride or anything like that, even himself. He says, no, the things I'm saying, they're all truth. I didn't originate them. The Father, he gave me commandment what to say, and I'm speaking that. Got it? Okay, go right over to the Holy Spirit now. That's what he says about the Holy Ghost. He says the same thing about him. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Boy, you got that right. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, what kind of things? He shall receive of mine. I think Jesus has some anointings that we're kind of blind to. Do you all think that? Jesus knows how to... When the Father comes and says to Jesus... Father, the disciples have already left. The meeting's been over, and I've gone up into the mountain to pray, and they got in the boat and left, and we're through praying now. And what do I do next, Father? And the Father says, we'll just walk on the water and catch up with them. And to Jesus, that doesn't sound bizarre. Does to us. Why? There's some stuff we're blind to. We don't understand how to cooperate and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus understood it. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now, the reason I said all that is this. And again, I have to say this. I am not against anybody in Guthrie or any other town that is doing anything for Jesus Christ. But the plain truth... I mean, thank God if people are getting born again. That's number one. Thank God, but the church does not very much resemble what we see in the book of Acts today. And if you guys... are going to go somewhere that Guthrie has never been, you are going to have to do something that nobody else is doing. Is that plain enough? You and I and the same thing we're doing in Tulsa, we have got to learn the reality of the Holy Spirit. We have got to learn to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And we have got to learn to flow with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's never going to happen. Till you start really learning how to distinguish His voice. He is a person. None of this is a mystery to Him. And He is the teacher. We may be blind to these things now. We don't have to stay that way. Amen? Now, Dave Roberson has a set of tapes that if you don't have them, you ought to write and get them. Now, he doesn't offer his for free, but they're very nominal. It's a two-tape set called Distinguishing God's Voice. I'm not going to teach that lesson right now. But the end result is this. There is a way for you to not only... Okay, first, let me back up. Boy, I feel like a thoroughbred ready to charge out the gate here, but I don't want to run too fast. Everybody understands the basic premise that when you're praying in other tongues, you're speaking the mysteries of God.
Yes.
See, that's one way to get that's probably the number one way. To really get revelation knowledge from that other world that we're really from. See, 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4 in that world. How do you know that? Well, the loaves and fishes. You can't take, in our world, you can't take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000 people. But see, it's because in our world, 5 + 2 makes 7. I don't know what 5 + 2 makes in that from that realm. It's a whole lot more than 7. Because he fed 5,000 and the wives and children. There's probably 10,000 to 15,000 people there fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We're blind to that kind of stuff. We read it, which not that we deny it. But when the Lord sent me one day, I was going over to my ugly building to pray. And just getting my stuff together, like always, a little recorder and a notepad and stuff. And he said, take a slice of bread with you. And I just ignored it, like you do. When you hear instructions like that, you know. And I'm going... where'd that come from, you know? So I was still getting ready and take a slice of bread with you. And it kept coming to the point, finally I went, well, that must be God. I don't know why in the world. I mean, if I was going to take bread, normally I'd slip some meat in there and another piece of bread. Yeah. But he said, just take a slice of bread with you, you know. So finally I did. I just took a regular slice of wheat bread with me and put it in a baggie. And I had no idea what was coming up, you know. I got over there praying in other tongues, minding my own business, just having a good time, you know, and just, to just spend those time praying those mysteries so the Holy Spirit can bring revelation knowledge. And I was probably a couple hours into that, maybe three. And I started hearing the voice of the Lord. And he says, get that piece of bread. All right, so I got it. And he says, go out and stand in front of your building. And there's a little sidewalk out in front of my ugly building. And in front of that sidewalk, there's an empty field of about 2 acres. It's just a plain meadow. And he says, and I want you to picture in your mind as if there's 5,000 people just sitting there. And he says, see that slice of bread you got in your hand? Feed them. With that slice of bread, just go ahead and feed them. Do just like Jesus did. Bless it, break it, start passing it out. Well, I said, what you would say. I can't. He says, that's why you're here. He says, do you understand that's absolutely no mystery to my son how to do that? I'll make it no mystery to you if you'll spend enough time with the teacher.
Thank you, Lord.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
We're supposed to function according to the laws of physics from that world.
Yes.
Not this world. Well, if you're going to have a teacher like that, there's not any other than the Holy Ghost. That's why God sent us the Holy Spirit. Do you think it's a mystery to Jesus how to multiply that slice of bread and feed 5,000 people? It's no mystery to Him, is it? It's no mystery to the Holy Ghost, is it?
No.
The whole idea here is Jesus, the seed, being multiplied in the earth through us. And if He can do it, He in us can do it. That life in us can do it. He intends for us to do it. Should be able to take a slice of bread to solve the famine problem in Africa. Quiet in this church now. Mm-hmm. Now, did you get that part about the Holy Ghost? That He will tell you when you start getting into fellowship with Him? Now, get back to distinguishing God's voice. I don't remember now if it's $10 or $15 for those two tapes. It'd be the best money you ever spent. On those two tapes, Dave goes into precise detail about how you can train yourself on purpose to not only hear the Holy Ghost by revelation knowledge through praying in other tongues, but how to start hearing Him in English or whatever language it is you speak. And you can train the ear of your spirit to hear Him very well. Now, wouldn't that be something? All right. Now, I'm going to read you some things. I really wasn't going to do this, and I don't normally do it. But I wouldn't do it today, except the Lord said to, as we were in worship there. What I'm about to read you is a word-for-word quote, and it's long. I don't think you're not going to be able to write this down. You have to get the tape. Again, you can afford them. They're free. Okay. And also, as I read this, now what this is, I was praying in the ugly building. I had listened to those two tapes by Dave, and I did what's on them. Rather than me try and teach that right now, you get the tapes and you can find out what's on them. Just do what it says and you'll be fine. Okay? That's not the lesson. But what I want to do is share with you some of the end results. Because it'll be obvious to you, if you can start hearing the Holy Spirit like this, your church is not going to be like the other churches in Guthrie. Okay?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen? Now, I had known this about the Holy Spirit does not speak of Himself. I had known that for years, so I was free of that. I mean, I knew that the Holy Spirit would tell you about Himself because of what we saw there with Jesus. All He was saying is the Holy Spirit, just like me, does not originate His own thoughts. Everything we're doing is from the Father. Got that? So I was praying over there, doing what's on that two-tape set, and the Holy Spirit started talking. Now, He's talking about Himself. As I go through here, just to be honest with you, I'm going to have to skip a few paragraphs because these are personal to me only. He'll start talking personal things to you only. And you won't want your dirty laundry aired any more than I want mine. So basically, those paragraphs are none of your business. Okay? That's where he's just dealing with me. But these other principles will bless you all. Now, here's how the Holy Spirit talks. I am the anointing, says the Spirit of grace. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. But I am the anointing. Remember how the Word says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. I am the anointing of God. The Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with me. I am He who brought all things into existence by the power resident within myself. And I am He who changes all things to conform to the Father's will. I do these things by faith. Faith works by love. Faith works by obedience. I bring the mind of Christ to you, says the Spirit. Hearkening to His voice who speaks from heaven, and obedience on your part is what releases me, and releases the anointing, and releases the power to cause the material realm to conform to the will of your Father which is in heaven, says the Spirit of grace. I'll read you this part. This is to me. For this season, break off all ties and all fellowship and all communication with those who seek not the path of the anointing. For it is this path and none other that the Father has called you to. Your mind has enough trouble and has enough difficulty comprehending the mind of the Spirit without input from those who will not believe and those who are not seeking to believe. For this reason, I will carefully select and choose your friends, says the Spirit of grace. I've got to skip over this part. Now, I want to read you this. Since we last... Now, he's talking to me now. Since we last communed face to face, you have hearkened to my leadership and obeyed a little. But you have chosen your own ways more. I know that you are already aware of this, but as your teacher, I am obligated to school you and bring to your attention those right steps which you take and those wrong steps which you take. You will progressively take more right steps. Does this sound like a real conversation? Okay, now, hang on here. You are learning and will learn more about making no decisions based on carnal information without seeking first my counsel in every matter, even in the smallest detail. This is the season of ketchup, not like you put on a hamburger. C-A-T-C-H, catching up. It will seem to you that the situation is getting worse when the matter of fact is it is really getting better. You will look back from a future date and see that this is so. For now you must trust me that I know what I'm doing, that the Father sent me, and that His perfect will is my counsel. Not only His perfect will for your life, but also for those that you care about and love. Hearken to the counsel I bring and make no decisions based on carnal information, regardless of how serious those situations seem, nor how immediate, nor how pressing. Make no decisions without hearing my counsel. I say again to you that the day will come when you shall be ahead of the game, not playing catch-up anymore, not coming to me any longer full of questions concerning present problems, but you shall follow my counsel and my leadership to the place where you see everything ahead of time. Nothing shall take you by surprise. Now stop for a minute. What did Jesus say? He shall show you things to come. He'll show you things to come. In every circumstance, when you arrive, you have already received my counsel and my wisdom. You already know exactly what to do. These things belong to the sons who serve the living God, if they give the time to learn how to flow with me, says the Spirit of grace. There is still much religious thinking to be torn down. He's talking to me now. I see your mind exerting pressure against my voice, wanting to cast down my words. You have to learn to cast those thoughts down. Now, does that sound like casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? All glory shall go unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You will openly declare that you are His servant. Boy, you got that right. But know this, you are also His brother. You will declare and give all glory unto Him. Hallelujah. There's so much in this one I have to skip over. Now, I'm going to read a portion of this, and I'm going to have to... There's a few things... It's the point. This was to me, personally. He's got some things in here I just don't want to share. Sorry. Tough. Deal with it. But I want you to get the point, because he would say the same kind of things to you. It just depends on what the Father's plan is for your life. Mm-hmm. He says, hallelujah. Okay, let me do it this way. There's a certain thing he wants Sue and I walking in. He told me real plain what it is. I'm finding out the Holy Spirit doesn't mumble.
Yes.
He'll tell you straight out, what's up? Now, so with that in mind, I'm just going to say, he told us very specifically what it is, the next stage where he wants us. Okay? With that in mind, now I'm going to read you this because I want you to see what he says about it. But I don't want to tell you exactly what it is. He says, got to paraphrase a little. I bring the word to you that says, a poor man's wisdom is not heard. Do y'all know that's in Ecclesiastes? Do you? Okay, some of you don't. Solomon, when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, he talks about this poor man, but yet he was a wise man, and his wisdom saved the city. But he said that's not the case normally. Normally, a poor man's wisdom is not heard. Isn't that right? Who's going to take counsel from a poor man? Now, it is the Father's plan for you to walk in this which I have told you, for the purpose that others will hearken to the things which I have taught you, that they may follow the counsel and follow the path where you have gone ahead and notched the trees. Like a forest, you're going to mark the path. That they may come and receive the same understanding, the same wisdom, and that they may walk in that same anointing, says the Lord. For this to come to pass, you must become a rich man concerning this call. Paraphrasing. How else will they hearken? Why else would they listen? Why else would they follow you as you followed the Lord? Now what he's saying there in plain Oklahoma talk, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. See? It's one thing to say a bunch of stuff. I mean, y'all that know me know I'm big on confession, and I am. You'll never rise above it, I'll tell you that. But sooner or later, it's got to translate to action. It's got to translate to power. Okay? Receive this, for it will help you war against religious thoughts. It is never for the purpose of exalting man that the Father calls you into these things. It is for the purpose of causing those who desire the anointing to hearken to the wisdom and the training that shall be made available to them. They'll follow a man who is rich in the anointing. Now, what did Paul say? Follow me as I follow the Lord. Isn't that right? We don't want to be blind leading the blind. We want to be seeing so we can lead them into more seeing. Isn't that right?
Amen.
They will follow the patch where he notched the trees. They will follow into the same clearings and they will receive the same anointings. They will become equipped for the warfare that shall be done to rescue souls, to bring in the mighty harvest, and to undo the works of the devil by destroying the yokes he has put upon them. Hallelujah. And then he starts talking to me about going into the Lamb's room of fellowship. He gave me very specific instructions that the things that I heard in that room I cannot share for this season. Why? He didn't tell me. You're going to find that the kingdom of God works on a need-to-know basis. I phrase it like this. There's no point asking the Lord about step 2 until you've already taken step 1. What did you do with the last instruction he gave you? Well, I just don't know what to do, Brother Gary. I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. Well, I don't know what to do. What did you do about the last thing he told you? What did he tell you the last time? Well, it's been so long ago. What was it that he said? He wanted me to spend 2 hours a day praying in other tongues. Have you been doing that? Well, not a little. Some. You know, we're not going to just... Well, yeah. Some, sort of, yeah. But, you know, I want to know what's coming next. Honey, forget it. Forget it. I was talking with Nick this morning, and I said, when the Lord, for those of you that don't know, when the Lord called Sue and I to go full time into ministry, I mean, to me, I thought he was being real mean to us, in a way, because in my case, now, and then again, these are his instructions to me. If they're not what he told you, don't follow it. You know what you should do is find out what he's saying to you and do that. But for us, is what he said. He says it wasn't his will for me to hold a secular job. I was willing to do it, had been doing it all my whole life. He says, I want you full-time in the ministry. So we had no secular income, and I have no type of retirement. I mean, I have no income. There's nothing like a medical thing or anything. There's just no... You understand? There's zero. You understand? Nada? It's not like, well, I have no income except for this $200 a month I receive for... No, nothing. Then he said he wants us full-time in the ministry, and... The first instruction I received from him was to start this little Bible study in our home, very similar to what's happening here. And now, as a practical man, I'm a husband, I'm a father, got children, and my family has this horrible, they have this horrible habit. They like to eat every day. They want to eat every day. And they like electricity, and they like it when we have gas to heat the house. And they even want gasoline in the car to go places and stuff, you know? In fact, they want a car. So what I'm telling you is I'm faced with this, you know? And the Lord told me to start this little Bible study. And then the instructions he gave me, it had nothing to do with how our finances were going to come. Because here's what he said. He said, now I want you to start this Bible study, but I don't want you to take up any offerings. I want you to make tapes, but I don't want you to sell them. And when they start asking for copies to be sent to their friends and relatives, then I want you to send those for free. And I want you to buy the envelopes, and I want you to buy the stamps, and I want you to pay the postage and do all that for free. Oh, and just one other thing, son. What? Don't ever let another human being ever know of any need that you have. I am your source. Well, so the furthest thing, with those instructions now, I'm thinking, the biggest thing on my mind, I'll just tell you plain. How in the world are we going to eat? How in the world are we going to make it? Because he not only separated me from what you'd normally call secular income, he separated me from what you'd call normal ministry income. We had no church, there was no tithe, there was no tape sales, no book sales, nothing. But do you know that... Now, if I had been in the mode of, if my thinking had been like this, Lord, that's not what I asked you about. I'm asking you about my money. I'm praying to hear instructions about my money. Where is it coming from, Lord? I heard that about the Bible study. Fine, we'll get around to that later. I want to know about the money. How are we going to eat? Now see, because I'm blind, I was so blind. Had I been like that, I'd probably be out of the ministry today. Wouldn't have a worldwide tape ministry. I'd be back doing something, just in the world. Because I didn't know it, but he knew it. Starting that Bible study had everything to do with our finances. I didn't know it then. I would never have figured it out. All we knew to do was obey step one. Do the Bible study. Take no offerings. Sell no tapes, but do make tapes. I had no earthly idea that his intention was to eventually, just slowly, grow that thing and grow that thing just one step at a time. To now we're sending 4,000 or 5,000 tapes a month, free, around the world. And the last part of what he had told me in those original instructions, he said, if you will precisely obey these instructions of mine, I will speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support both you and the needs of the ministry. And he's been doing exactly that for well over 3 years now. Now, in my natural thinking, I would never have thought starting a Bible study had anything to do with our future finances, especially starting it the way we did. Now, the point is this. It's on a need-to-know basis. And so many people are stuck because the instructions they got the last time from the Holy Ghost does not seem to pertain to their present problem and where they're trying to go. And again, had we not obeyed that simple instruction, and I'm telling you, it looked like we were going under more than it looked like we was going over for a long time. I'd preach at that Bible study and preach prosperity like we had $10 million in the bank. And what they didn't know was that any moment on the inside, I was afraid the lights were going to go off. Right in the middle of the service. I mean, you know, we was running late and behind on everything, you know, but you'd have never known it if you'd been there. And we had, you know, what we could do, we did. I mean, our car was clean, our house was, you know, clean, our clothes were pressed. I had on my, you know, we, and my wife is she has an anointing. I mean, she can take a nickel and feed. Now, she can almost feed the multitudes with a nickel. I mean, she'd go to that Dollar General store and get the big sacks of cookies for a buck, you know. And you put them on a nice plate and you, with napkins and make some, you can water down that tea. You know what I'm saying? And serve the people, and they're happy. And you know, I'm sure every one of them left there thinking, boy, if we can ever be blessed like them. And at the moment, I'm wondering, oh, God, don't let them shut the electricity off till we're through. That's how it really was. So, I mean, you know, the devil's going to fight you. He's going to contend for the faith with you. See if you're going to obey what God told you or not. Do you think I was tempted to take up an offering? You bet your bippy. I mean, you better believe it. I was tempted, buddy. You know? And you can do it. You know, you can word things, you know, a certain way and without just blatantly saying, oh, God, they're going to shut the electric off. But we didn't. We chose to believe God. Chose to obey what He said. And that's going to be the secret for it. Not only this church, but every facet of it, every part of the ministry. You've got to get where you have this kind of relationship with the Holy Ghost, where you can hear Him. Now, we could go into all kinds of things from the Word itself, but He wants me to do it like this, so this is the way we're going to do it. Now, if you was Mark, if you was Matthew, if you was Peter, and you lived in the days when Jesus Christ walked the earth in the flesh, when they got up in the morning, let's say they had been on they were traveling, and let's say this particular night, maybe they camped by the road and built a little campfire, and everybody kind of pulled their robe. And can you see the scene of Jesus and the 12, and they've spent the night, they built a little campfire maybe, and now it's morning time. But yet Jesus is among them. Do you know that they weren't at all concerned that day about the, oh, I wonder what the Lord wants us to do today. This is all on me. No, what was their attitude? Well, we're with the Lord. He'll tell us what to do next. Now, wasn't that their attitude? I mean, I can see them over there, maybe, you know, and I don't know what they drank for their startup in the morning. I have coffee, you know. Or, you know, some people have, my daughter, God forbid, sometimes has Pepsi. But, you know, caffeine is caffeine no matter where you find it. But let's just say for our mental picture's sake that Peter was the first one to get up that morning, and maybe he goes over and he stirs the coals in the fire and goes and gets a little more wood and puts on there, and maybe they brought some bread, and he's going to heat up some bread and making coffee. Let's just say, I don't know what they drank, but whatever. Now, why is he doing it? He's not concerned about ministry for that day. He's not concerned about where they're going to go that day. He's not concerned about the power. It's not his job responsibility. What is his responsibility? Stay with Jesus. And whatever Jesus says, do that. And if Jesus says, today, gentlemen, we're going to go to Tiberias, then we're going to Tiberias. That's just that simple, isn't it? Today we're going to go and to Samaria, and I'm going to talk with a woman by the well, you know. Or whatever. That's not Peter's job to fret and worry and all of that about that, is it? No. He's got, and if you'd have been there, you wouldn't have been worried either. You know why? Because you could have seen Jesus in the flesh. You would have had physical evidence. He talked to you yesterday. I see him laying right over there. He ain't got up yet, but he's right there. I ain't worried. I'm with Jesus. He's got all the answers. He knows what to do. I don't even have to worry about that. I'm going to go over here and fix the bread and the coffee so it'll be ready when he gets up. Amen. You with me? Do you understand that when the Holy Spirit has been sent for you to have exactly that kind of relationship with Him? We get into all kinds of stuff that is not even our job description. He is with you. Jesus says, I'm going... Now, imagine, after Peter and James and John and all them living that way, and they forsook all to follow Jesus. For 3 years or so, 3.5 years, they've been following Him. He's their life. He's everything, isn't He? I mean, you've forsaken everything to go with Him. And now He tells you, I'm leaving. Wouldn't you react like Peter? Lord, we've forsaken all to follow You. You're our life. You're the Messiah. You're the one we've been waiting for thousands of years. You're leaving? So, starting in John, especially 14, 15, 16, Jesus goes into great detail. Don't be alarmed. Yes, it is true, I'm going away, but the end result, you think it's going to be worse for you. I said, well, yeah, we think it's going to be worse for us. You're leaving. No, it's going to be better. Because I'm going to pray to Father, and He is going to send you another Comforter. Now, in the Greek language, there's two words that can be translated another. One of them means another of a different kind. And one of them means another of the same kind. This is the word another of the same kind. Just like me. Now, why is it better, though? Well, that's simple. If Jesus Himself was still on the earth in the flesh, then let's say now His ministry has expanded worldwide. But He's still here in the earth in the flesh. And if we were operating today like the disciples operated then, all right, let's say that He would pick, what's your name again, sir?
David.
Let's say you have an assignment or you have a meeting that day with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself in the flesh. He calls you to Jerusalem. Let's say that's where His headquarters is. And He says, David, I have an assignment for you. Your job is to go to Bogota and pass out tracts on the streets of Bogota for 3 months. Go do it. Well, knowing David, you'd book the next flight to Bogota, wouldn't you? You'd go to Bogota, you'd take the tracts with you, and for 3 months you'd be passing them out. Now here's the problem. At the end of those 3 months, your assignment's over, isn't it? Do you know what you'd have to do? You got to book a flight back to Jerusalem. And you'd have to go find Jesus physically and find out what to do next. The reason it's better for us, the Holy Spirit is everywhere at once. And He brings you, just like He said there, the very mind of Christ. In one of these instructions to me, He said this, boy, and He said it just, you know when truth just really hits you? He said, it is better to do one thing each day according to the mind of Christ than to do 1,000 things of your own devising. Now, isn't that something? See, and Sue knows, people that know me, I'm a worker. I'm not happy if I'm not busy. I like to work, you know? That's good and that's bad. Because I'm one of those guys that can real easily get into 1,000 things of my own devising. And all day long, Jesus is trying to get me to do one thing according to His mind. See, So the thing that's important, the thing that'll make a difference, another thing the Holy Spirit said to me in here, he says, I can, if you learn how to cooperate with me, he says, I can accomplish more for you in one day than you yourself could accomplish in many lifetimes. But think about that. Think about that. Ours is not to be a powerless gospel. We have been sent to co-labor with the Holy Spirit, and He has been sent to co-labor with us. We are to walk the relationship that we are to have. The only way you're ever going to understand it, you have to look at the relationship that the 12 had with Jesus. We envy that. I used to envy that. Oh, God, if I ever could have spent one of those days. Or if I ever could have, you know, just, if I had a question. Let me ask you, if you had a question, and you were walking right along beside the Lord Jesus Christ, how would you find out an answer to your question? What would you do? Wouldn't you just turn to Him and ask Him? Do you know that we're supposed to do that with the Holy Ghost? Can you imagine this? You're walking along beside the Lord Jesus Christ. You're on your way to Damascus or wherever, and you think of something you'd like to know. And you go to Jesus and you say, Jesus, what about this? Oh, that's a hard one. Let's see now. Let me go fast and pray, and maybe in 30, 40 days I can get an answer back to you. Would it have been like that?
No.
No, you would have asked Him a question. How soon would you have got an answer? Do you know that we're supposed to have that same relationship with the Holy Spirit? He said it's supposed to be better for us that He left. Why? You don't have to be geographically with Him on the road to Damascus. The Holy Spirit is geographically with you wherever you are.
Yes.
Got news for you. He knows all the answers too. He doesn't have to go off and seek God either.
Amen.
Now, I'm a big one on seeking God, but really what the seeking part is getting past our soul, getting above our flesh, where we can develop our spiritual ear to hear the answers that come. Because the Holy Spirit's a spirit, and He communicates with your spirit. But He can... Now, this is heavy. You ready? He can communicate with you in English just as well as He can communicate with you in tongues. Now, the primary advantage of tongues is we don't know how to pray as well. Going back to the Bible study and my finances illustration, in English, I would have been praying because this was my great need. Send money, send money, send money. In English. We need help, God. What about the money? They're going to shut the electric off. They're going to shut the telephones off. We're going to be living under a bridge. We're in gunny sacks. Send money. That's how I knew to pray. You see what I'm saying? Praying in other tongues. The Holy Spirit, He knows the end from the beginning. So I'm praying in other tongues now. I'm praying now according to the mind of Christ. So those prayers, looking back on what happened, had to be something like, oh God, have mercy on this ignorant boy who does not understand nor trust You yet. He's moved by the circumstances. But Father, give him a heart to start the Bible study. He doesn't know it, that that's the beginning. He doesn't understand that that's the foundation stone which his future prosperity will depend on. He doesn't understand that, but you understand it. Now see, praying in other tongues allowed me to pray beyond my intellect, beyond what I knew to pray. And the Holy Spirit made intercession for me according to the will of God. I never would have guessed that to start a Bible study like that would be the key to our financial salvation. But it was. I've got news for you. Not only has He abundant... I mean, we're not wearing gunny sacks or anything. He's taking care of us. He also got us completely out of debt.
Glory to God.
Something I couldn't accomplish myself in 30 years in the workforce. You know? And I try. It's not that we didn't try. The Holy Ghost is good at what He does. But it comes by developing a relationship with Him. It comes by understanding He's a real person, just like you are. It's not... And you need to understand, He will talk to you about Himself. How else are you ever going to learn to cooperate with Him? He taught me one day, he spent an hour, well, about an hour and a half, talking to Gary Carpenter about how he is going to use Gary Carpenter in the gifts. Now, how do I get more specific? He said, I want you to understand that the gifts of the Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, so forth and so on. He says, now, with you, I'm going to operate with you in the word of wisdom like this. And I start writing it down. Y'all are looking at me like a frog in a Texas hailstorm. You don't have a clue. I guess I'm going to have to do it like this on that part. Help me, Lord, find it. Hallelujah. Gifts of the Spirit. Here it is. Thank you, Lord. That was quick. Okay. Now, see, it's one thing. I could teach on the gifts of the Spirit. Marvin can come up here and teach on the gifts of the Spirit. Probably several of you could come up here. We could go all through all nine and teach on them. And that's good, isn't it? Don't you know it's different when the Holy Spirit comes and says, now here's how they're going to work in you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Now, this is him talking to me. Gary, I'm going to put in my name here, but everywhere it says you, I'm going to put in Gary. So I want you to get the personalness of this. Gary, you're going to find that the word of wisdom operates primarily for you in vision form. Whether it be an internal vision, such as what you describe as teaching visions, or whether it be an open vision, expect them both. You will find that the word of wisdom also comes very often by dreams for you, or through you. You will have to learn which of these dreams are from me and which are from natural sources. He's talking about pizza. I understood what he meant by that. How many of y'all have had dreams from God and dreams that weren't from God? Okay. That dream you had about taking a knife and plunging it through somebody's heart, that's not God. Okay. All right. He says you're going to have to learn. Now, when a word of wisdom comes by vision or by dream, very often you will also hear my voice speaking to your ear, interpreting what you're seeing. Sometimes you'll hear my voice, sometimes not. But learn to trust these internal visions and these dreams concerning the future. You will become more and more expert with practice, as you expect me to manifest the word of wisdom all the time, not just in services. Now, how plain is that? Now, see, that means that whether we're ministering or whether we're sitting at that Mexican restaurant where we ate yesterday here in Guthrie, if all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts giving me these internal visions and I see myself going over to a certain person, maybe there's another person in the restaurant, and I just see us going over and maybe witnessing to him about Jesus, I'm not to ignore that.
Amen, that's right.
That's a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. I'm getting instructions, and if I don't obey that, if I just pass it off, if I just ignore it, now I have removed myself from cooperating with the Holy Spirit. He told me how he's going to do it. Visions. Primarily in us, visions. Now, either somebody else, he may, for all I know, they may be hearing an audible voice. You understand? But he's already told me what to expect. It's going to come to you in vision form, son. When you see those visions, don't ignore them. Do what I tell you, and I can operate the power, because I am the anointing. One thing he said to me in here, he says, unless the Holy Spirit moves, there has been no ministry. Now, take that in for a minute. Unless the Holy Spirit, now, again, you got to get his whole counsel on that. When truth is presented with an anointing, that is a moving of the Spirit.
Amen.
You with me? But somehow, some way, okay, what he's saying is this. He's trying to make a distinction between the works of man and the works of God. Now, there's a lot of things we can do without God. If you just want to know the truth of it, we can gather up clothes, for example, and clothe the naked. Are we supposed to do that? Absolutely, we're supposed to do that. Jesus, and will there be reward for that? Absolutely. You can't even give a cup of cold water in his name and lose your reward, isn't that right? So there's things that man can do. Thing of it is, though, there's things only God can do. God's the only one that can, you may speak it, you may speak death to that cancer, but somebody's got to go in that body and do something about it. Now that's the Holy Ghost. So what he's trying to get us to is where we can do the things that we can do, but we know how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost so he can do the things only he can do. Well, now, he does that primarily through the gifts of the Spirit. And if we don't, if every, you know, unless he starts communicating with you and you're expecting that to happen, you'd be sitting there eating your enchilada. And you see yourself casting a devil out of that third guy on the left, you're just going to keep eating your enchilada. And the Holy Ghost, that guy came and left with that devil and Jesus wanted him free.
Amen.
You know?
Glory.
Should be devils coming out at the restaurants, devils at the park.
Amen.
People getting saved in parking lots. Glory to God.
Glory.
You know? You would take this town for Jesus, aren't you?
Yeah.
Isn't that what this is about?
Amen.
We're going to have to learn to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Now, again, I'm dealing with the leadership group here. And I understand that. So, we're still going to be talking about many of these things all this week. All right? But for you guys, the point is this. Man, if you don't break the ice, if you're not the first ones, God help us. I don't know what to say. Get out of the ministry for your own safety. If you're not going to get in there, if you're not going to get in there yourself, quit. Don't be a leader. Don't be many masters. I mean, there's a price to pay. There's a price to pay for the anointing. There's a price to pay. Maybe we better look at it. Go over to James just so you'll see it. I know you know it, but sometimes you just got to see it. And I'm saying this in love, and I'm sincere as I can be. God help me, I ever become content where I am. To be honest with you, the more the Lord shows me Jesus, the more uncontent I get with where I am. Drives me back into the prayer closet. I said, oh God, I've got to understand more. I've got to know more. I've got to be more like Him. Make me into that image. Help me behold His glory, that I can be transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Only the Holy Spirit can unveil Jesus to you. See, Jesus came to show us the Father. I got news for you. The Holy Spirit has come to show you the Son.
Amen.
And the more you see Him, I mean see Him yourself on the inside, that's the way you get more transformed to be like Him. See? But James warns us. Chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren at Guthrie, I'm warning you, be not many masters, and that's simply the word teacher, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, alternate rendering judgment. You're going to be held to a higher standard than the sheep you're leading. Have you got that? For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. There's good King James for you. The ship goes where he wants. He turns the helm and makes it go that way. Even so, just like that, the tongue, what you teach, is a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Now, I could go on and on. But let's see what he's talking about here. Norval Hayes. Does anyone here not know who Norval Hayes is? He's a minister of the gospel. Remember that guy named Jim Jones that took all those people to their deaths in Guyana a few years ago? Norval knew him when he first had his first little ministry in Indianapolis, Indiana. And he says, that man started out right. You would have liked him. You would have attended his church. He started out right. Got a lot of people saved. It was doing things correctly. But little by little by little, started getting comfortable. Started getting a little bit off into error. Started getting a little bit off into deception. And then it started snowballing. Moved to California, as you know. The deception got worse and got worse and got worse. And he never intended this when he started. But the end result, see, not only did he destroy his own life, But through that tongue, he defiled a great portion of the body. And he turned them all into suicide. Now, who do you think's more accountable? Huh? Who do you think is the most accountable? Those that were turned or the turner? The turner. And that's what James is saying here. Now, okay, I've got to be real careful here. There's a lot of things being taught in the body of Christ today that you absolutely know is not the truth. But yet these men are still doing some work for God and they're getting people saved. Even in that church I grew up in where they taught tongues as of the devil, they get people saved there. They really do. They get born again. Alcoholics become delivered from alcoholism and all kinds of stuff. But what's going to happen with those guys that are teaching that? Well, that part is going to be burned up as by fire. They themselves will be saved as if by fire, but those wrong doctrines and wrong thinking and wrong things they taught, that's going to be burned up as by fire. They themselves will be saved. I don't want my life's labor burned up by fire. Do you?
No.
For God's sake. And we don't want to lead a bunch of other people into stuff like that as leaders. You yourself. Boy, this passage here in James 3 and also over in Luke 6. If you're blind, you're going to lead them into the ditch. Jim Jones got blind. And he led them into a ditch, didn't he?
Yes.
Joseph Smith got blinded. How many millions have gone to hell because of that tongue? Think about it. So what I guess the point I'm trying to make is everything we teach this week, what we're really going to be teaching on is tools that God has given us so that wherever your state of believing is right now, a year from now, you're going to walk at a higher level. And if you continue using those tools, a year from then you'll be walking at a higher level. And more and more and more, as the blinders come off of your eyes, you're able to lead all these others more into the truth yourself. That's what we want, isn't it? So I guess my word to you this morning is, listen, count the cost. You better count the cost. You're dealing with eternal things here. I know that you're a serious. You wouldn't be here on a Saturday morning. But I'm telling you, take inventory and count the cost. There's a price to pay. There is a price to pay. Again, God forbid that I or Marvin, Dave, I don't care what level you're walking at, can't ever get complacent. Well, the Lord's using me and my life's very nice. Well, good. When's the last time you spent a day in prayer, you old flaky thing? When's the last time you fasted yourself? When's the last time you spent that? When's the last time you read the book of Galatians 30 times without stopping? What? That would interfere with my TV, Brother Gary. That's what I'm trying to do. Your TV needs to be interfered. Now, I myself will watch sometime, you know. But I mean, who is Lord? I mean, this little time we're spending on this planet is the shortest time of your life. Here we've got a few decades. Whatever we do here, that's your reward forever. You know, that's it. You don't get to live your life over again, you know. And I don't want to be standing there and seeing the vast portion when that judgment comes, which we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want to stand there and watch my life's work be burnt up as by fire. Now, the fire is going to come to all the works. But when that fire is done, I want lots of gold.
Amen.
And lots of silver. And lots of precious. You know what that's going to be? Really? It's lives.
Right.
That were salvaged and rescued and changed through your work on this earth for Him. It's only what's done for Him that lasts.
Amen.
Well, listen. I know that every one of you is walking in the... Well, no. No. I'd like to say every one of us is walking in all the light we have.
Yeah.
We're not.
Sure.
You already know a lot of stuff that you're not doing. I wasn't going to say that. Well, the same's true of me. The same's true of me. And right on the other hand, it's not a matter of I've not found the Lord to be a real, you know, severe, hard taskmaster. He loves you. Do you understand that? Look around this bunch.
You do know that God said I chose the foolish things of the world.
Amen.
To confound the wise. Do you understand? We are His hope in this earth. He's put that seed of His Son, that life, on the inside of each and every one of us. He's hoping that we take it serious enough to let that seed grow up to the point that we walk as He walked. But God's not upset with any of you in that sense. It's like, if in his view, honey, you're the hope of the world. You've got Christ on the inside of you. It may be like a seed right now. Maybe it's a little plant just shot up through the earth, but He's in there. But see, you can give attention to that seed, that new spirit on the inside. You let that grow up, it'll become a great, mighty tree that bears fruit.
Amen.
And those kids with the muscular dystrophy, you say, bring them right up here.
Amen.
The Lord has fruit on these limbs. And every one of those kids can eat this fruit. You may have had to wheel them in. They're going to walk out of here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Y'all liking this?
Yes. Amen.
Now, first off, somebody has to come down and just flat talk like this. And I'm telling you, if this church winds up being another little church on another little corner and one more flavor of Christianity for Baskin Robbins, it's not that God won't bless you all He can. He will. Like I said, anything that gets done for Christ, thank God for it. But that's sure not His mind. That is not His mind. And if you want to put it this way, since we know... Okay, now I'll phrase it this way. Since right now there is no place in Guthrie where you can take the 10 kids in the wheelchairs, then you'd have to say, right now, February 1999, all the ministers in this town are blind at that level. All I mean by that is they don't know what to do. They don't know how to hear the Holy Ghost. They don't know how to see what He's doing. Or they'd be doing it. Somebody's got to break the mold. Might as well be you.
Amen.
And see, just like He said that earlier to me, if you guys really get serious with this, turn yourself over to the Holy Ghost. Turn yourselves over to the tools we're going to be talking about the rest of this week. Hey, He's sent for the very purpose of bringing forth everything Christ is in you to the front. The anointing won't be a mystery anymore. The things of the Spirit won't be something vague and la-la land out there anymore. You'll walk in it, huh?
Flaky.
Old flaky stuff, you know? No. Hey, when Jesus shows up, well, okay. Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. Hallelujah. Chapter 13. Now see, this verse is quoted all the time, all the time, all the time. And it's even while you're turning there, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And we teach the fruit of that verse all the time. Well, He is, isn't He?
Yes, He is.
He's the Alpha, the Omega. He never changes. I mean, He was a healer then, He's a healer now. We got all kinds of good messages out of that. That's not even what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. I mean, it's a fruit of what that means, but it's not the root of what that verse is talking about. You got to back up to see what he's talking about. Verse 7. Okay, Hebrews, the one I just read was Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you. In the margin of my Bible, it says, or the guides. Those that are in leadership. Remember those who are in leadership, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And what is the end of their conversation? What do they look like? Jesus Christ. The same. Just like Him. Yesterday, today, and forever. These guys in leadership, if you follow their faith, you can look at the end result of their life, and what do you see? Well, it's Jesus risen from the dead in them. They walk like Him. They forgive like Him. They love like Him. They minister like Him. They have the same anointing. Listen to what they had to say. Remember those guys. So, well, I don't even know any guys like that. Well, that's why we've got Paul, and we've got Peter in here, and we've got James, and we've got these guys who did understand it. Yeah, to me, I feel like Marco Polo. I feel like we're discovering things. Discovering things that have been lost for 2,000 years. I read the book of Acts and I see a church that doesn't even resemble what we call church today. But all that information, everything we need to know is in this book. This is the manual to fix the broken machine. Our problem has been trying to figure it out with our noodle, our natural mind, instead of turning ourselves over to the Holy Spirit, who's the only one that understands it and who is the only one that can teach it to us. But the end result, they'll say about us, remember that Marvin. One thing about Marvin, he's a guide. And if you'll go follow him and you'll follow the word that he spoke unto you, just look at Marvin. You can look at the end result of his life and what do you see? Well, you see Jesus Christ. Marvin's just like Jesus. Jesus cast out devils. So does Marvin. Jesus laid hands on the sick. They recovered. So does Marvin. Jesus walked on the water. Marvin fell through. No. Pastor Dave tells us, he says this is a true story. A friend of his was teaching, and he was at the motel. He was traveling, teaching somewhere, and he got into that thing, the works that I did, you'll do also. And he's meditating at his motel, getting ready, pumped up for the meeting, you know, and he's getting dressed and had his suit on and his polished shoes and everything. And man, he's pumped up. And he comes out of his motel room getting ready to go to the meeting, which is right across the street, and he comes to that swimming pool. And he's pumped up. Bless God, I'm taking it on, you know. He starts to walk out across that water, and sure enough, sploosh! Underneath him went. Had to go back in real quick, blow dry the hair, change clothes, and get over to the meeting, you know. But see, if the need ever arises, if the need could arise, you know. I know, how many of y'all heard of Rick Renner? You ever hear of Rick Renner? He's got the biggest church in former Soviet Union, Latvia. And this was several years ago. Now, he thought it was a dream. He was asleep at home in the United States before they ever started that ministry over there. Asleep in his bed. Thought he had a dream. And in this dream, it appeared to him that he was like flying low over a portion of land that was cold, and the vegetation was very low and scrubby and sparse. And they came to a city, just a few little, you know, poor little village type place. And in this dream, he was now standing, and he walked up these steps to a house and knocked on the door, and the man answered and said, "We've been waiting for you to come. Please come in and teach us the Word of God." And in the dream, he does that. Well, later on, he wakes up. Boy, that was an unusual dream, you know. Now, several years later, the Lord calls him to start this ministry in Latvia. And so they're working there in Latvia. And then one day, somebody wanted to take him a tour to show him. I can't remember the name of the place, but it's one of those death camps when Stalin ruled and they buried like a million Christians there. So they're driving to this area. And it starts looking very familiar. Very cold, snowland. Scrubby vegetation, low to the ground. Comes to a village that looks extremely familiar, pulled up in front of a particular house. It was the same one he had in the dream. He says, stop for a minute, to the driver. He gets out, goes up and knocks on the door. The same man that was in the dream answered the door. "We were wondering when you were coming to teach us again."
Again?
Wow.
Rick was literally, have you ever read about Philip? In the book of Acts, translated after he spoke to the eunuch.
Yeah.
And then he was not found. He was found in Azotus.
Yeah.
Translated. Different physics from another world.
And by the way, Rick Renner tells us that from the time he was, say, or in the 70s, he started praying in other tongues. He would pray all the time, even to the point to where his friends would get irritated with him because they would just be driving in the car someplace, and friends, all the time he'd just be praying in other tongues for years and years and years before God put him in that teaching ministry. And then finally, over there in Russia, it was a long process, but it began with those prolonged hours of praying in other tongues, just like it did Dave. just like it did Gary, just like it did Benny Hinn. You remember Good Morning, Holy Spirit, and how Benny Hinn talks about his parents not even speaking to him. None of his family would even speak to him. He would spend hours upon hours in his room. All he had, the only one he had to talk to, was Jesus.
And the Holy Ghost.
And the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. He developed that one-on-one relationship. That's what we're talking about. Hallelujah. But Rick Renner was literally translated just like Philip from the book of Acts. And he had literally preached there. Now, he thought it was a dream. Found out years later it wasn't a dream. Now, isn't that something? That's the kind of church we're talking about. That's the kind right now, none of these flavors. God bless them for what they're doing now. None of them know anything about that, hardly. None of us hardly know anything about it. But we don't have to stay blind to those things. And watch what Sue was saying. You listen to Rick Renner. He didn't know why, but all those years after he got baptized in the Holy Ghost, he says, I don't know why. I just had this overwhelming compulsion to pray in tongues all the time. I just wanted to pray in tongues all the time. Most of my friends, they didn't even want to hang around me because I just wanted to pray in tongues all the time. Turn to Galatians real quick, and then we'll close with this. And you do know that doesn't mean anything at all, right? Okay. Now, we really are getting close. Galatians 6. Now see, this passage here is taught all the time at offering time. It's got nothing to do with a church offering whatsoever. The whole book of Galatians, Paul was trying to talk them out of going back under the law. The teachers of the law had come, and he's saying, what's wrong with you people? Listen, you better listen to a guy who came out from under the law. You better listen to me. These guys are deceiving you. You don't go back under the law now that you become spirit-born children of God. Whole different thing. So he's concluding that with this. Galatians chapter 6. We'll start in verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall... Now, just so you'll know here, all through here, Paul uses that term of the flesh. He's talking about if you go back under the law as though you are still a flesh creature, like you still are a person with the spirit of Adam in you, like you're still a person with spiritual death in you, that's the only one that the law is for in the first place. If you sow to that, you go listen to those teachers, you're going to reap corruption. The flesh can never save you. You better not spend your time listening to them either. If you sow to that, you're going to reap from that. And it's going to be damnation eventually. The law can't save you. Only the blood of Christ and being born again can save you. Walking according to that new spirit on the inside. Now that's what he's talking about, not a church offering. Crying out loud. For he that soweth to his flesh, you get back under the law. You don't nurture that new nature. You're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, and that's what Rick Renner was talking about. Sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now that's what I said to this young lady here a while ago. I said, listen, there is a new Spirit on the inside of you. The only thing that matters is causing that to grow up to maturity, because in that Spirit is the very life and nature of Christ.
Hallelujah.
It's life from above. Life from God. Then what matters is sowing to it. How do I do that? One good way, start spending a lot of time praying in other tongues.
Amen.
There's a whole world that we're from that we don't know nothing about, and you can't learn much about it from this natural realm. But this book and the teacher sent from that world to teach us, he knows everything about that world. He knows about 5 plus 2 equaling 5,000. He knows about walking on water. Do y'all understand that one of the signs that's supposed to follow us is that the maimed are made whole?
Yes.
What does that mean, Brother Gary? That means they come in and somebody cut their leg off. They get a new one.
Yes.
Oh, I don't believe that. Go look in there. It says in one of several of Jesus' meetings, says the maimed were made whole. The devil was assaulting me. Now, that does not mean that they have missing limbs. You know, he's saying, no, no, it's other. So I did a word study on that word maimed, the same one used there. You know when Jesus says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off? Same word. It is talking about that too. Guy comes in with maybe he lost an arm in an accident. We got a lady at the church that was born without a leg. If Jesus has his way, and he can get enough dedication and commitment from Gary Carpenter and Dave and some other people there to where that new nature, that life of Christ can come to leg-bearing fruit on us,
amen.
The day will come she won't be walking on an artificial leg anymore. She'll walk on a flesh and blood one, her own.